Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
I am joined by Dr. John O'Connor and Alva McDonagh. Good morning to the pair of you.
Nice to see you, Marty.
Nice to have you in this morning. It is cold. It's
very cold, yes.
I can't figure it out. And somebody said to me, what, it's your old bones. It's not. Alva, please tell me you're cold as well.
I'm cold. To bring everything with me. Sunglasses and an umbrella.
Well, that's Ireland.
Exactly.
That's cold Ireland. Welcome to you both this morning.
Thank you.
You're teaming up again.
Yes, we are.
Just determined to be stuck like glue together, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. I never leave John alone old student.
It's not a bad thing, in fairness. He's awfully talented. We know about the work, the album that came out a couple of years back. And, you know, it's lovely to think that he were performing still together, which I think is just lovely, that you haven't fallen out. But then...
Not since I started teaching her when she was six.
Is that the reason I sometimes wonder that you form a bond with somebody. Do you know, we think about today, leaving cert, junior cert, all that today.
I know. Okay.
And isn't that interesting? Do you know that the fact that you teach from pupil and that there is a bond sometimes with somebody, he got you, you got what he was trying to teach you, and
Absolutely.
So you move forward, I wonder.
What's even more to the point, Marty, I taught her piano for 12 years, and then she decided, no, she didn't want to do it, so she took to the cello.
But she stuck
anything
with
to get away from me.
No, but hang on. She stuck with the teacher, though. Just quite
she did. She did that already.
I did.
It does actually say an awful lot.
Well, in hindsight, it was a great idea, because I'm not sure we would have played piano duets together, so cello and piano repertoire is much more exciting.
Why? Yeah, okay, I take your point, but why wouldn't you have played piano together? Would he have been too kind of determined to kind of
my wife might have objected.
I won't go there. What made you switch, by the way? What made you switch to the cello?
Well, I was doing both, and it's quite a high level to, if you're trying to, you know, reach an international standard at both, it's a lot of practice to do. And I think we got to college and John said, if you're going to be a world-class piano player, you need to do more practice. So I said, well, maybe I'll be a world-class cello player.
I thought he was going to say, if you're going to be a world-class piano player, I think you should take up the cello. I thought that was kind of where that was going to go for a moment.
No.
You have to realise, Marty, 1 year at the Festival, she won the concerto competition in both piano and cello the same year.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It was good fun.
Then she gave up the piano.
Running between the two.
You say it's good fun, but you must have been so determined. Can I ask what age you were when you did this?
I think I would have been about maybe 14, 15 at that stage when that happened. But I was definitely, I just loved it. I mean, I started, who gets to start the piano with John O'Connor and Colm O'Briscoe, who was also a student of John's.
Yeah.
And John just has an amazing way as a teacher to just make you feel about the magic of music. And I say it to him often and he always laughs, but I think that gift to be able to give your love of music over to a student, you know, it's still with me and every one of his students.
Well, John, you have always come in with that enthusiasm, whatever. I mean, obviously we can talk about Beethoven to Rabu in the face or Bach or whoever, it doesn't matter. You always have an enthusiasm, a love of music.
It was with me from the very beginning. I mean, my parents loved the arts, my sisters were great pianists, and I always feel that, you know, every piano teacher can, they don't have to produce pianists, but they have to give every student a love of the arts that they'll have for the rest of their lives. And most people don't end up doing music as a career, but if they have the love of music, I think that's the most important thing.
And as a teacher, I presume you can get the ones who get it early on, fairly lively, would you? You would.
Absolutely. And you know the ones that are going to go ahead with it and all the rest of it, and the ones that really shouldn't. You know, I remember Alva's brother was studying piano with me and doing very well, and he was very musical, extremely musical. And as it got sort of further into secondary school, I could see the interest waning a little bit.
Was it girls and rugby and whatever else?
Not so much. No, it was really, he was interested in the study. He wanted to. I was madly interested. I mean, I could see he was wanted to go into business in some way.
Okay.
And eventually, in the beginning of the leaving cert year, I said, so what are you going to do next year? He said, I was thinking of doing music, and I said to him, will you enjoy teaching piano for the rest of your life? And he said, what? And I said, you don't want it badly enough, you don't practice enough, so you're not going to become a pianist. So therefore, keep your love of the piano, but go and do something else.
Yeah.
Go and do So he's making a fortune, making his outside more money than I am.
Disgrace.
Lovely guy.
Yeah. But isn't that interesting? Yeah, that you get that sense that, no, destined for something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, you're practicing, you're doing two instruments. Mm. You can't be doing that if you don't love it.
Absolutely.
End of story. End of story. Listen, you're playing tomorrow in the Pavilion in Dunleary. Beethoven and Moore is how it's being described.
And two of Alva's own pieces.
And two of your own pieces. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm accompanied by your good self, which is quite something. Let's play a little bit of the cello sonata. This is from the album. Is this from the album? It is. Beethoven completes cello sonatas 1 to 5. This is number 5, just to give people a flavour. Just a flavour. Can I jump in on top of you there, Doctor?
Mechanical.
That's very nice. Cello Sonata number 5. It is John O'Connor and Alva McDonald with me this morning. Alva, you're going to play something for us live. You brought the cello with you. You were determined not to have an instrument you could get on a bus,
well,
weren't you?
It's one of those things that makes you look very cool. You know,
It surely does. All right, so what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play the famous Bach Prelude in G Major.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
must applaud. I must applaud.
Absolute. Great.
That was gorgeous. It was just gorgeous. Well done.
There's nothing quite like playing that in front of your old teacher live on the radio.
And he's hearing every single note.
He is. Previous teacher.
Old as them.
Friends.
Absolutely. Exactly. It's lovely to be colleagues now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that is lovely. That is a lovely thing. That was beautiful. Has that cello, by the looks of it, travelled a bit?
It has indeed. This cello is an 1833 Postuccini from Italy, of course. And it's I'm planning to have a 200-year-old birthday in 2033, so
that's
I'll have a big birthday concert for it.
That's a great idea.
It's a beautiful thing.
When you think of the history, it's amazing, to see how many people played it
Do you happen to have that a long time, or is it very recent?
I got this from the Academy of Music when I was a student.
Right.
And it was in terrible shape, so I had to actually... I suggested to them if they kept giving it to students who might potentially, you know, hit it around the odd time or leave it in a nightclub or something like that.
What kind of nightclub we're talking about?
Exactly. So I took it and I spent a lot of money on it. They took off the top and they found 18 open cracks on the inside.
Wow.
Fascinating. So apparently somebody smashed it years ago and
I think it
sounds beautiful now.
It does. Beautiful. It's interesting because people talk about instruments. I don't know, John, if you're the same with a piano, and maybe not, or maybe it's a more difficult thing to have. Particularly guitars. People who play guitars, Willie Nelson, for example, still has, I think, his first, and he's 91 years of age. And I think people have a great fondness for the very older instruments because they think they sound sweeter or something. I don't know what it is.
But that's great about, you know, anything that's violins, cellos, guitars, that sort of thing. Pianos keep getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, sort of a piano that's 100 years old is not nearly as valuable as something that is just bought yesterday.
That's a bit of a
Whereas with cellos and violins and all the rest of it, it's the absolute opposite.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And surely it must be a devil.
Yeah. It is.
I bet it is. Listen, I just want to make sure, because I don't want to let you go without dates. John, you're also doing a concert on Sunday.
That's right.
The 9th. Yeah. Beethoven with John O'Connor. Where is that going to happen?
It's going to happen in St. Teresa Church in Mount Marion with the Goethe Choir and Orchestra, and I'm playing Beethoven's Choral Fantasy, which is actually done very rarely. I did it first actually with the Goethe Choir and the great Coach Lanigan conducting. I think it was about 1976.
Oh, I was a small boy.
A few years ago. I was a small boy, I wish. Yeah.
I wasn't alive then, John.
It was
wonderful. There's no need for that.
I'll pay you back for that. So I'm delighted to be playing it again here in Dublin.
That's lovely.
And it's a fabulous piece, and it's rarely done.
Rarely, and the choir. Now, the choir are also doing, I know, some Mozart and Handel.
That's right, they're doing, and it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so anybody who doesn't like going out in the evenings will enjoy going out Sunday afternoon.
That's a nice one, because Sunday night is not a night, particularly working people.
Exactly.
Sometimes feel, no.
Yeah.
Now, and this is happening in St. Teresa's, Mount Marion in Dublin, and people can get tickets for that. And the other thing, Alva, you also... I love the fact where you come together and then you go off and do things and then you presumably come together again.
We will.
You're down in Christchurch Cathedral in Waterford.
So I am indeed, with Musici Ireland, but the next concert that I'll actually be playing that Bach Prelude and the first suite is with violinist Linda O'Connor playing the Vivaldi Four Seasons in the Whitehall in the Academy,
the Royal Irish Academy
of Music on the 23rd of June.
Okay.
Which is very exciting. And then...
You're down in Roscommon in Nova Scotia.
So Linda's recorded an album on the AVI label of the Vivaldi Four Seasons. But she commissioned a piece from me called The Irish Four Seasons. And it's a new violin concerto, 22 minutes long. And we're going to be doing the world premiere down at the Bala Arts Festival this summer. That's on the 7th of August. So I'll be playing a Vivaldi concerto, a Dvorak, kind of a small orchestral piece. And she'll be doing all of those.
22 minutes long.
22 minutes long, yeah. It's quite a feast, but you had to make sure...
That's Balladrine.
It's in Balladrine.
That must be... daunting in its own way.
Well, I suppose the Four Seasons, so many people have done kind of rewrites of this, but to be able to do an Irish one with some flavours of Irish traditional music,
it's scary.
It's actually quite fun as a composer. You know, you get to think about what your version of the Seasons
is. I suppose true. Yeah. And of course, you gift Dr. O'Connor a lovely prize for his, for his birthday.
For his 75th, whether he wanted it or not. Who knows? But
we're all open to gifts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We will be playing it tomorrow at the Pavilion.
I was just
going
to ask, this is Skellig.
Skellig was actually for an album I did previously, and that was written for my sister Orla.
Right.
But Valencia was particularly written for John because he holidays in Valencia there, and he's quite a fondness for the place. So
my cousin Brenda and her husband have a fabulous house on Valentia Island, just looking out over Port McGee, and it's magic. I mean, I take photographs of it every year, and when I really get stressed in America when I'm travelling so much, I take out the photograph and look at it. But you know, heaven is
here's
there.
My escape.
Heaven is
here.
I just
my
need
escape.
To get
Isn't that
back.
Lovely?
Yeah.
But again, I just to go back to the idea of the student and the teacher, it must be wonderful to have a piece written for you.
Yeah.
By Alfred. Just that
it's great.
Sense of what that...
And I like the piece too.
Thank God.
It's a gorgeous piece.
It's a good job.
Really
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, you want to give us a little something.
I will indeed. I'll just say that the tickets are still available for tomorrow night on www.pavilliontheatre.com.
Okay. And it's only down the road.
It is indeed. And
sorry, what's your 8 o'clock tomorrow night, guys?
8 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'll play one last piece for you, and this will be Gabriel's Oboe.
Lovely.
By Ennio Morricone.
Lovely. Breaks people's hearts every time they hear it. Every time they hear
Lovely.
It. Gets people there. Thank you both for coming in this morning. We put up all the details online. We have a break to take. And is it okay, John, if I play a little bit of your Mozart Piano Concerto number 27 to play us out? Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
Seeing as you didn't bring a piano.
No, I didn't.
We play you from the system.
Okay.
If that's all right.
That's fine.
John, thank you so much for joining
Great
us today. And Albert too. And a reminder that it's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary. And then Alva has her... White Recital Hall, RIAM, on the 23rd of June, 7th of August, in the Bala Arts Festival in Roscommon, and John with the Gaeta Choir for the Beethoven on Sunday the 9th. I think we've covered everything, lads.
We have, very well.
I think we have it all done.